This is the Word of God from the Household of David Church. It is a message designed to raise men after God's own heart. Listen and be blessed.
Thank you. If you were not in the first service, I think you should listen to the message of the first service. I admonish you to very strongly. What I'm going to be telling you in this service is a continuation of what he told you in the first service. Amen. So it's one spirit. Praise God. I want to thank my father, Pastor Shola, and my mother, Pastor Abigail, for the opportunity. Thank you. I never take these things for granted. Amen. And you know, when you read the Bible, this is not part of the message, but I felt I should tell someone, right? When you read the Bible talks about Elisha sending his servant in a very interesting way. In that portion of the Bible does not tell us the name of the servant. So we are left at thinking, is it Gehazi or somebody else? He says, sent the servant. And the Bible says this person who was serving Elisha at the time when Elisha was sending him, the Bible says he was his servant. But when he was going, you know what the Bible said? It says, and the young man, the prophet. So as he was going, because he was going with the authority of the prophet, so anything he went to do, it was the prophet doing it. Amen? Okay, so if you understand, you understand. If you don't understand, forget about it. God bless you. Amen. You may please be seated. Thank you, sir. Thank you, ma. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, it's Easter Sunday. And today, according to scriptures, Jesus rose, isn't it? Yes, he refused to remain in the grave. You know, when you talk about various religions in the world, Easter is what makes Christianity not a religion. Because other people will tell you that Jesus was just a prophet. For the other religions, the person who started it, or who is the source of the religion, was born, the person lived, and they will tell you the person died, and the person remained dead. But you see, for us, Jesus came, he lived, he walked on the face of the earth, he showed us how to live. Then he said, you know what? What is the biggest hindrance to these people? Sin. Okay, I will die on their behalf. And then he decided that, you know what? I would resurrect. And I will give them something that would ensure that they maintain everything that I lived and died for. Somebody shout authority. This morning, I want to briefly talk to us about the believer's authority. The believer's authority. You know, there is, when you get into Christianity, you become born again, you have access to what I would call a body of knowledge. Same way, when you meet a medical doctor, when he or she graduates, what has happened to that person is that that person has been exposed to a body of knowledge. The person has been exposed to the physiotherapy, the physiology, the anatomy, and all of that of the human body. So when the person graduates, the person has knowledge that the regular human being does not have. And so the person can do certain things that the regular human being cannot. Same way when you meet an engineer, that person has been exposed to a certain body of knowledge, strength of material. You know, all those very interesting things. And the person graduates, and the person can then do some things that a normal human being would not do. You know, I enjoy speaking with Engineer Akibi and Pastor Goke. It's always interesting listening to them. When they are analyzing a building, things I won't even see. They will tell you this, this, that. And I'm like, wow. But you see, the difference between both of us is that they've been exposed to certain kinds of knowledge. I also, when I get into my field and I am talking, they would listen. Why? Because I've been exposed to a certain body of knowledge. When people give their lives to Christ, it is important the body of knowledge that they are exposed to.
Because based on the body of knowledge they are exposed to, their perspective to Christianity begins to be formed. Now, based on the exposure of individuals to the body of knowledge of the Bible, we have about three categories of people. Number one, Kenneth Hagin calls this the militant church. People who are aware that Jesus came, Jesus died, and they know Jesus has resurrected, but they are not sure of what Jesus did by resurrecting. So they believe they still have to fight the devil and fight the devil and fight the devil, fight demons, fight. So everything is a fight. And there are certain books that when you begin to read, you begin to be exposed to that kind of knowledge. I remember I won't mention the name of the person. There is a book, Prepared for War. I won't mention the name of the author. The first time I read that book, I was sitting in my sitting room. One cockroach passed. Demon. let's fight. You know people like that. Everything is a battle. Amen. Now, there are some certain individuals who the body of knowledge they've been exposed to is about things that they are not aware that Jesus did. So these are ignorant people. Kenneth Hagin calls them the defeated Christians. So everything and anything in life happens to them. And you know, they'll tell you, these are the people who tell you, Eshulagbara o, Konibala. They'll say, we are suffering in this world, but we would enjoy when we get to heaven. You know, there's this, and then Jim Reeves helped them. This world is not my own. That's the consolation, right? Say, don't worry. Everything you are suffering in this world, when you get to heaven, 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 heaven. The only thing is that when these people get to heaven, you know, the Bible talks about people who will be weeping in heaven. The tears will be tears of, you mean this was for me? You mean? And you know, those are the people pastor will say that when they are entering into heaven, the devil will just look at angels, right? And say, oh, yeah, just enter, enter. But there is a third category of people who are the triumphant Christians. These people know what Jesus did for them, and they are aware of how to exercise that authority on the face of the earth. And so they're exercising it and enjoying everything that Jesus came to die for them to enjoy on earth. And they would also go to heaven and continue enjoyment. Hallelujah. Now, it is important that believers are exposed to the right knowledge. Now, thank God that Jesus died. There is something that the death of Jesus accomplished. I spoke a little bit about that at the crusade that Pastor sent me to. Amen. Now, Jesus was buried. And thank God he was buried. There is something that the burial of Jesus accomplishes. But you see, today we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. There is something else that the resurrection of Jesus accomplished. Now, in the book of Matthew chapter 28, from verses 17, after Jesus rose from the dead, the Bible says that when he appeared, you know, I love Jesus. Jesus appeared, he said, all hail. You know the picture I find? People say, hey, Babake. He has risen. He says, all hail. Then he tells them why they should hail. He says, all power, the right word is exousia, authority, has been given unto me. Where? In heaven and where? In earth. That means there is no authority that is superior to the authority that Jesus procured. He says all, not some. All authority. Now, what is authority? Authority is delegated power. Authority means somebody sends someone else and says, go in my name, go in my authority, go in my power, and go and accomplish something. When that person appears, even though you cannot see who sent him or her, you must respect this person. Otherwise, you will face the wrath of the person who sent them. Do you understand what I mean? Good picture. When you're driving on the road, you meet a traffic warden. Now, no matter how the traffic warder or warden looks, thin, short, fat, stocky, pot belly, one pack, six pack, it does not matter. When, no matter the size of the vehicle you are driving and bringing, doesn't matter. Once the traffic warden raises up his hand, whether the light is green or red, especially in this part of the world, let me not mention where. Once the traffic warden raises up his or her hand, or the last mile official says, stop, what would you do? You will stop. You can be angry. You can be going for a very important appointment, but you will stop. Why would you stop? Why did you stop? Is it because of the size of the traffic warden? No. If you disobey the traffic warden or the last mile official, and the last mile official arrests the person or catches the person, the wrath of who would you face? Is it the traffic warden? No. It is everything that is back, everything supporting this traffic warden. That is the wrath of the person you face, which is the government of the Federal Republic of Nigeria or Lagos State, as the case may be. That is authority. Amen. Now, Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Now, it is not something that is abrogated based on feelings. You don't have to feel like respecting the traffic warden. You must obey the traffic warden from a legal standpoint of view, because the authority that Jesus procured was legally procured. So you have to respect it, regardless of how you feel. Now, what you must understand is this. The devil knows this. God knows this. The question is that, do you know? The devil knows. As a matter of fact, I have discovered from experience that it is the smaller demons that are very troublesome. Because those ones, they don't have the full understanding of the gravity of authority. The big ones, they understand. Once they hear, this one understands authority, the big ones just go away. The small ones, they don't. That's why they are the ones, you watch all those movies, they are the ones that are always suffering. The big ones, they moved. Because those ones, they understand authority. Do you know the authority that Jesus has given you? Now, Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Luke 10, 19. And I'll show you something. Luke 10, 19. The Bible says, behold, I do what? Say it with me. I what? I give unto you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. Does that look like over some of the power of the enemy? No, it says all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt. If there is any hurt, anything that is not comfortable in any life, by virtue of sin, sickness, anything that is looking hurtful, Jesus is saying we already have authority. We have authority over it. Because he got all the authority, then he handed it over to the church. Ephesians chapter 1. And Pastor Damola just touched on that verse. Ephesians chapter 1 from verses 17. I want us to read this together. If you have a Bible, I want you to look in the Bible together with me. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 17. The Bible says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Next verse. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, being flooded with light, that you may know what? The hope of your calling, number one. And number two, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What you now have. Verse 19. What is the exceeding greatness? That's the third thing. He wants you to know. The exceeding greatness of his power to us who do believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. This is how Jesus got that authority. When he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand. That is the position of power in the heavenly places. Verse 21. He says, how far above
He's not competing with the devil. He's not sitting on the same plane with principalities and powers. He says he stated, you know, I always say that there are no meaningless details in the Bible. If the Bible says above all principalities, that would have been powerful enough. But it says far above all principalities, not some, all principality and power and might and dominion. I like this part. It says, and every name that is named. Cancer has a name. You know, paralysis has a name. Poverty has a name. It says, and every name that is named. That means anything that can be given a name. He says, Christ is seated where? Far above it. He says, not only in this world, but in that which is to come. In case that thing did not exist, when Paul was speaking this by revelation, he says, and that which is to come. Verse 22, I want you to see this. He says, and hath put all things where? Under his feet. Ah! Now, this is powerful. He says he has put things where? Under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to where? The church. Now, you know, the church is called the body of Christ. Jesus is called the head. What this verse is saying, the least member in the body of Christ, the toe, the least member in the body of Christ, is still far above the devil. That's what he's saying. He says he has put everything under his feet. Verse 23. Come on, go there. He says, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In case you read this, I have said, maybe they are talking about Jesus now. Well, go to chapter 2. I like the way chapter 2 starts. Chapter 2 says, and you. That means everything you've read so far. Okay, well, if you say it is just about Jesus, he says, I want to talk about you. Tell your neighbor and you. Tell your neighbor and you. I mean, point to five neighbors, says, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. He says, and you, at he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2. He says, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now walketh in the children of disobedience. That means that the things that work in people who are not believers cannot operate in your life. If you see it in your life, you permitted it. Verse 3. He says, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh. Go to verse 4. I like verse 4. He says, but God who is rich in mercy. He did this not because of anything that you did, because of what Jesus did. He says he's rich in mercy. I can preach this verse for the next year. He says, for his great love wherein he loved us. Verse 5. He says, even when we were dead in sins, at he quickened us. Somebody shout together. When Jesus rose, you rose with him. Pastor D was talking about identification this morning. When he rose, you were in him. He says, we've been raised together with Christ. By grace, that you say, verse 6. He says, and hath raised us up together and made us to do what? Sit in together in heavenly places in Christ. That means Jesus is seated far above. You are seated far above too. Everything is under his feet. Everything is under your feet too. Hallelujah. And you can understand why after Jesus contemplated and, you know, he thought about what he had done. And then he revealed this to Paul. And Paul was explaining this to us. When he came to chapter 4, verses 27, Paul says, neither give place to the devil. That means with what has been done and with where you sit, if you see the devil anywhere around you, it is because you gave him place. He says, don't give place to the devil. And you know, I love Apostle Paul because he did not stop there. He began to tell us how to abrogate and command and use this authority we've been given. Philippians chapter 2, and I round up. Philippians chapter 2. You see, all authority has been given to Jesus. Jesus has given it to the church. How can the church use this authority? Verse 2. Now go to verses 9. He says, verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9. He says, wherefore God has also highly exalted him and given him. A version says the name. I like that version because the name of Jesus is not just a name. It is the name which is above what? Talk to me, saints. Which is above what? Every name. He says, go to verse 10. He says that at the name of Jesus,
Is it Somni? You look in your family, you see the work of the devil there. You are not supposed to be haggling and fighting with the devil. All you are supposed to do is use the name of Jesus. Say, in the name of Jesus, out in the name of Jesus. You look at your body, they tell you, this is the situation. You say, out in the name of Jesus. He says, because at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Of things in heaven, of things on earth, of things under the earth. Verses 11, please, read with me. And that every tongue, not some tongue, should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. Hallelujah. That means that when the name of Jesus comes into operation, if every tongue, every knee, every demon will say, Jesus is Lord. He's the Lord. He's the Babake. You can understand why Jesus said all hail. Because at the name of Jesus, there is no situation that can survive. You see, no matter what they've called the situation, I want you to begin to use the name of Jesus right where you are. No matter what it is. You see, at the name of Jesus, at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow. Every knee, every knee, every knee would bow. He says, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, that Jesus is the owner, that Jesus is superior, that Jesus, he is the Lord. He is the Lord. He is the Lord. Can you rise up on your feet this morning? Say, Father, we thank you. I use the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. Not haggling with the devil. No fighting and saying, you know, let's see who's authority. No. It is the name of Jesus. Once that name is used, every knee bows. You move into a new house. You say, I move into this house in the name of Jesus. You know, you're going into your day. You say, I go into this day in the name of Jesus. That is the guarantee that nothing the devil has planned will succeed. Because you've gone into the day in the name of Jesus. Just begin to use the name. Begin to use the name, saints. Begin to use the name. Say, in the name of Jesus, every knee bows, every tongue confesses. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses. That Jesus Christ, he is the Lord. He is the Lord. No matter how long a situation has been, at the name of Jesus, that is something we have, saints. That is something we have. Peter said, silver and gold have I none. He says, but such as I have, I give to you. He says, in the name of Jesus, that is something we have. Something we have. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can someone shout authority? Can somebody shout, I'm walking in authority? Say, I'm walking in authority. In the name of Jesus. Have you been blessed this morning? Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Can we give our offerings this morning? Hallelujah.
Thank you for being a part of our broadcast. You know, we never like to end without giving you an opportunity to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Coming into Christ is beyond joining a church, is beyond a religion. It is joining God's family. And that is done when you believe in Christ Jesus. So I just want to lead you right away now. If you want to give your heart to Christ, just say after me, say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died and rose again and that you paid for my sins. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior, and from today I belong to you. If you have said those words, we'll believe you are born again. You are part of God's family right now. You can go ahead and rejoice about it. God bless you. We love you. Stay blessed.